easy breezy to host.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good, man. I'm saying.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Go ahead and get it, Dre. I'm not doing anything. They can do it too, baby.
What do you mean?
You're
not doing anything.
Okay.
You said you was
hosting.
I just had to shut it up.
Oh, man. Did you get everyone else in? JQ, you got everyone. Rob. Did you get
Bob? Yeah, I got everybody. Yep, I got everybody on the call.
Okay.
Finally,
we got the whole fam family.
There it is. Rob, you can join the Zoom. Zoom is still on. Curtis and Gary, you guys can join the Zoom. Again, we're going to have JQ join you in because I'm actually again.
Please,
we're
going to be on Zoom.
Will, so. Yeah, we can be on Zoom.
Yeah, I've got to see what I mean. I'm here.
Yeah, we're on Zoom right now. Like I said, the only thing you're going to see is some darkness here.
Y'all on Zoom?
I'm traveling. Yeah, we're on the Zoom right now.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting.
Because the meeting has not started.
Mm-hmm. I started it. Go ahead, Dre, and get it started. Maybe I just focus on my computer and do
it. I'll try it again.
I can leave if needed, and then I'll let you run that. Because I just set it up on my phone. I'm joining as a participant, actually. So.
All right, let me in. Go ahead and start the show, and I'm going to redo it.
Good deal. All right, again, we are officially, ladies and gentlemen, again, you know, we are talking Sports with 12, man. We're having a good time here. So basically, again, a little wrench in the works, but again, we can still host as I am picking up my cousin from the military here. So. A lot of love to him at the airport. Of course, Gary and Rob know and Curtis a lot about that too, man. So this is what we do. But we got
lots of service, cousin.
Yeah, he's not really here. He's getting off the plane. Middle, he's flying in from. He's in North Dakota. Then he's in Denver. So he's taking a nice little fun trip. So anyway, he'll be here shortly. Jordan is his name. We'll get it going. All that fun stuff too. But gentlemen, we got a lot of things to discuss. Excited, you know, again, we had March Madness going on, but again, the NFL took center stage as always, but we're going to dive into the room. We're going to do a quick check-in with everyone, as we always like to do, as we wrap up March, if you will, getting ready to wrap up March, if you will. So let me check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. Just trying to get this thing set up for us, but I'm feeling all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I just want you guys to recognize, you know, again, this is something that, you know, again, we always do. So, you know, it's it does take a lot of, you know, everything is pretty smooth normally. So just, you know, a lot of, you know, want to make sure that I'm getting some love every now and then for getting everything set up and stuff like that. So we're good. Rob Ford, how you feeling?
We show you some love, you know, partially, because you do a great job setting it up. Now you got to do a great job of developing your bench.
That's actually
pretty good. No. I signed in with the information I was given and said start a meeting.
JQ has done a good job. You know, JQ has been.
He doesn't have much of a bench.
Man.
And I'm
okay, you know
up.
We got to add some humor to it. You know we got to add some humor to it.
That's right. Y'all keep talking. Man. You keep forgetting. I got control of the mute button. So keep talking.
Oh, man, it's gone a whole other
direction. Were you able to get everything in? JQ, were you able to get that started? I can just do, like, start meeting with video and stuff like that. You should be good.
I did
Curtis,
that.
Gary?
And I'm
okay,
giving another one.
Doing?
I'm going to try again.
Okay, cool. Curtis, Gary, how y'all doing?
Curtis, how you doing? He says. We're doing okay, you know. On every team, you know, there's that equipment manager that really is that internal back, you know, backbone of that organization. Well, the exception of the Patriots, because Brady got his equipment manager fired. But other than that, the rest of the league all has equipment managers.
Dang.
And we've got ours. Andre, fantastic equipment manager for the podcast.
I don't even know what's happening on that point. You know, hey, and again, I give him thank you, Craig, for stepping in.
Thank you, just so you can make sure you get some praise tonight.
It's all good. Hey, listen, I have signed in. He must have about four different sign-ins for Zoom. I don't know if this one has a different login, but I see his foolishness on the Zoom. I've logged in again, so.
He said, yeah, yo, it's the purpose of get some praise tonight.
I see.
No, actually, it's pretty good. I can set myself up either as a participant or a host, and I set myself up as a participant so you can host it, JQ. So if I need to adjust it, that's totally fine. But I was trying to keep it pretty easy breezy. Nothing should have, you know, really thrown us off too bad. But, you know, again, I do appreciate JQ because he's been literally really good as far as technology and everything like that, too. So, you know, we got this. So.
Yeah, listen, I signed in to start me, but you gave the wrong
answer.
Go ahead, start the show.
I know we haven't, but we appreciate both, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
The number to call on the show is always, it's always the same thing. Call us in the 424-243-9519. You want to follow us on the Twitter, it's at number 12, THMAA Sports. And last but not least, we have Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12man sports, you will find us as well. Again, shout out to Rob from the topics. And again, Rob has updated mock draft. Rob, with all the new news that's going on, we had a crazy week of trades and quarterback news. So we're going to dive into all that as well too. So, gentlemen, without further ado,
I did my first four round mock draft season too. Four rounds. I haven't posted four rounds. First four rounds.
Good job. We appreciate that too. So we can dive into that. I had a chance to look at that. And, you know, good stuff right now. We don't have any trades in there, too. I think there's some – I didn't see, like, too many trade logs, if I'm not mistaken, too. But we'll dive into that. We'll let you get into everything. And at this juncture, we know, if you've been following, even on the rocks, the AFC is looking stacked, if you will. So now we're going to take it a different route. So it kind of looks like the NFC is kind of like the little sister, if you will. Her little brother, how do you want to call it, and who will be contending. And obviously, I think we'd all be remiss if, you know, again, there's a couple people that we're thinking about as far as that. Is it going to be the Bucs? You know, again, as much as you may hate that, is it, you know, Curtis and Gary's favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers? You know, I guess we got a lot of things to discuss if you will, too. So I'm going to start with you, JQ. What do you think as far as the actually, we'll start with Gary and Curtis in this one, as far as who do you think will be the Super Bowl contenders in the NFC, if you will?
Who do you think are the contenders in the NFC, Curtis?
I'm putting my bet on LA again. I'm putting my Tampa Bay, Green Bay. They got an easy path to winning their division. And that's about it. Maybe the Cowboys. Maybe.
No, I'm gonna agree with Curtis on those teams right there. I think the Rams are right where they need to be again. They'll be fine. I think they should be the front runner for their division. But that division's tough. Wouldn't surprise me if someone else won, maybe a San Francisco or somebody like that came up and bit them on the ass. It's tough to win that division back-to-back, that's for sure. And, you know, and who knows what Arizona, if Arizona will get their heads out of their ass. But other than that, the teams that Curtis said, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, the Rams, and on the outside, maybe the Cowboys, just because they'll be in the playoffs because they should win their division. So those are the teams that I have.
Well, I know nobody wants to hear it, but when that man came back, I think he put the rest of the NFC back on notice, and I think he looked around a week and a half ago and said, I can win the NFC again. Not to discount the Rams, I think the Rams are going to be there. At this point, I have a hard time putting your band in that conversation. Now that they lost Devontae Adams, even when they had Devontae Adams, they're going to get over the top. So does it make Aaron Rodgers be, you know, look for more people? I don't know. What they do in the draft? I don't know. So maybe you have to revisit this after the draft to see what's going to happen. But I really think, honestly, I think it's a two-man race. I think it's Rams, and I think it's the Bucks.
Yeah, you got to think the Rams still going to be in the mix, right? But, you know, one concern you have with the Rams, you know, Andrew Whitworth retired, and who are they going to have to replace him at left tackle, right? That's a big concern, the major position of importance, right? They don't have any early-round draft picks. Ron Olmstead just went to Miami. He was probably the best left tackle on the market. And so who's going to replace Whitworth? Even at his age, he's still performing at a high level. So that's the one concern you have with the Rams. Obviously, they went out and got a wide receiver to replace OBJ, but you're also going to lose Von Miller, too. So there are still some concerns there, even with the Rams, particularly, most importantly, the left tackle, as I just mentioned, right? But, you know, even Von Miller, I mean, that's, you know, he caused havoc at that Super Bowl. Now, that was against the 4-5 Bengals offensive line in that game. But, you know, those are I still have the Rams, but those are right. 49ers. When you look at the team, offensive, defensive line, top notch, linebackers, top notch, Debo Samuel, one of the best in the business, top notch. But the question mark at the 49ers is still the quarterback position. They have almost everything else on their roster. Packers losing Devontae Adams. There's still some offensive line concerns with the Green Bay Packers. And as JQ just mentioned, unfortunately with the Bucks, if they can just get loose from offensive linemen, but if they can replace that, they've just about got everything else back intact. You know, so, I mean, you have to look at them as a favorite. The Cowboys. So, I mean, you look at some of these NFC teams, just about all of them have lost something of major importance. The Cowboys lost offensive linemen. They've lost Randy Gregory. They've traded away Amari Cooper. And then Arizona, you know, where's Kyler Murray's head, right? You know, you get the wide receiver back in DeAndre Hopkins, fortunately for them. But, you know, the NFC is just a weakened conference. So, I mean, going into it, as much as I hate to say it, you know, the team that have lost the least will be Tampa Bay at this current time.
Now the only thing I would say to that is how it's all going to shake out is in the draft. Let's see where what teams pick up what and how they handle all this draft business. Some teams do better than others. I'm confident, like, you know, you were talking about losing our offensive linemen for the Cowboys. You know, they've done really well in the drafting, you know, offensive linemen, and Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, it's like we talked about earlier on the podcast here last week. You know, you had to pick your poison between Amari Cooper and DeMarcus Lawrence.
Randy Gregory,
and,
right?
You know.
Oh.
Yeah, and we had to pick between those two and. You know, so Amari Cooper's bye-bye. And Randy Gregory, you know, he's always been one that, I don't think he showed any loyalty to the Cowboys as far as that goes. So, fuck him.
I'll tell you why.
It's because, you know what? Hey, I'll tell you why. You know, he showed some really good signs this year. But all the drug problems he had, all of this shit, they're the only team that kept him in the NFL. He had a decent season, and first chance he gets, he flies the coop. So I wish him the best, but, you know, with his mental issues that he has, and he's got all the physical tools you want, except between the ears. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Robert touched on that in the draft. Talent versus people with also that heart and that something that, that brain you're supposed to have between your ears. That's where he lacks. That's why I'm always wondering when is the next, DUI or, drug-related thing, the next suspension coming around with him, because that's been his whole career. I hope he's over it. I wish him the best. He's no longer a Cowboy. I think if I were in the league, and I know it's all about business, but I had two teams that were going that were there for me. One team is a brand new team. The other team is the team that actually kept me in the league. I'm going to show some, some loyalty.
Money talks.
It's a business he didn't, so fuck him.
I think one of the things we're never going to see again, I can't comment enough on Cincinnati. They won games where they were sacked 7 and 5 times. If you're able to sack a quarterback as many times as Cincinnati was in the playoffs, that is successful. And I don't think we ever seen that before.
I told you, he's got a secret infatuation with the Bengals.
From their quarterback is on his back.
Yeah.
As many times as he was.
Yeah.
The thing about the Cowboys here, too, they were counting on Randy Gregory to stay with him, right? I think from their perspective, if they knew Randy Gregory was going to leave, they could have kept Amari Cooper. So I think from that perspective, that has to really hurt the Cowboys, right? Because you knew you couldn't keep all three of them. But, if you were going to lose Randy Gregory, they could have kept Amari Cooper. So that has to hurt. But, yeah, offensive line is definitely going to be a focus for the Cowboys in this draft. I mean, even this mock draft, I got them taking Kenyon Green. Offensive lineman from Texas A&M, well, I think his best position is going to be guard in the NFL. I'm sure it's going to be a major focus for them. And the free agency obviously is still out there, so we'll even see what they're doing from that perspective too as well. But definitely offensive line is going to be a focus for them at some point here in the draft or free agency.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk about it. So, again, there's a couple things that I think we can kind of tie everything together, because there's a lot of big moves that happened. And, Rob, this is going to go right into your mock draft, too, because we're going to talk about a couple dominoes that happened. And first and foremost, because the first domino is what happened with Deshaun Watson. So we kind of have some peripheral things happening because, again, I'm probably 99% sure that the Falcons were going to get Deshaun Watson. And I know I texted you guys. Never know. You're never gonna know until everything is crossed. And again, Robert saying congratulations. I was like, no, Rob, I'm not gonna congratulate until I actually. And what happened? The Browns came in, swooped it in, made him an offer he couldn't refuse, $230 million guaranteed. Of course, who's gonna turn that down? So now you have this kind of dynamic happening from that, and this also affects Baker Mayfield. This also affects the Saints, Falcons, and you had all these different moves that happened. We're going to talk through all these. We're going to talk about Rob again. I think you had the Panthers taking Charles Cross, which, I think they're going to actually get a quarterback in that position, if you will. We'll talk through that. But we're going to talk about ramifications, too, of everything, too, because there's all these different moves. And again, if you guys can indulge me, I'm going to pick up my cousin here, but I'm also going to talk about Matt Ryan really briefly and what happened trading to the Colts, because sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. And indulge me. Did you guys ever think that Matt Ryan was like, oh, shit, here's Matt Ryan? And, again, the reason I'm asking is because Matt Ryan, consummate professional, after what happened with, Bobby Petrino, all that crap, and he comes in, Michael Vick, you know, Mike Smith comes in. He's been a great quarterback for 14 years, professional, all that fun stuff. My problem with Matt is that he paid him like a top five quarterback, and I never felt he was a top five quarterback. I didn't think he could carry a team like an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, blah, 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 blah. He was a good quarterback, but for what you paid him, I just didn't think that he was up in that top five range. So, again, not that I'm crapping on him or anything like that. I just think that, you know, I don't – and again, if you guys think I'm crazy, let me know. I'm actually, you know, I'm happy that he goes to a team where he can, you know, the Colts, he talked about it, you know, he's going to get a better team, better built offensive line, all that fun stuff, Jonathan Taylor. But I just want to make sure I'm not crazy with this, because we'll talk about how these different moves kind of play together and what happens in the draft, if you will. So I know that was kind of a long-winded question, if you will, too, but all these kind of ties kind of come together as far as this. Does Baker go to the Panthers? Does Baker stay there? You know, there's a lot of things that are going to happen this offseason, too. So tell me your thoughts on that, guys. And I'll start with you, JQ, because you've been kind of quiet. You've been my bench guy, man. Hold it down, bro.
No, well, the thing about it is you talked about it, and, yeah, you had all the dominoes affected. I think what happens for an Atlanta fan is the fact that they look at him as somebody that was a former MVP, and they put themselves behind the eight ball, and they might have been able to get more than their third-round pick. But when everybody knows you got some 4 o'clock to do the roster bonus right after you missed on Deshaun Watson, then they didn't get maximum value from Matt Ryan. They should have probably at least got a second-round pick. But, you know, he's 37 years old. You got to think, what, 25? I think 26, I think, then you have four for the next 2 years, somewhere in that ballpark for those two. So you're talking about a 37-year-old quarterback making, you know, $25-$26 million a year, and you just said it. Nobody thinks he's a top-five quarterback. Then that's what happens. But, like, I bring it up almost every week. Joe Montana won 4 Super Bowls with the 49ers, and they let him go, right? You know, trading to Kansas City. So these things happen with older quarterbacks. It's just one of the – it's a business. Sometimes teams are ready to move on. Hell, New England was ready to get rid of Tom Brady, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And Bob Kraft said, no, we're not going to do that. But Bill Belichick was ready to let go, and Tom Brady had won them multiple Super Bowls, right? So that thing, that happens. It's a business, especially when your quarterback gets up in age and when you're playing that kind of money, he is not one that can carry your team. But, yeah, I've never seen anything like this quarterback carousel. It's like when people thought they had that dude, there was no way they would, you know, especially a younger guy, they would let him leave the building, right? Like, I'm not trading this guy. I'm not trading Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting rid of my quarterback. And, you know, Deshaun Watson being traded, I think that's, you know, extenuating circumstances. But I talked about it last week when we were on here. Baker Mayfield is in trouble. And we talked about it. I was like, when they flirted with Deshaun Watson, Cleveland did the first time, and we thought they weren't going to get it, we said, hey, how do they salvage that relationship, right? And they can't, and but Baker's out there, and, you know, it's like playing a game of musical chairs. Well, they down to the last two people, and it's one chair left, and it really is just maybe Seattle, and Seattle seems to have one nothing to do with him, or they're playing Cleveland, like, I'm not going to give you anything. I'm going to force your hand and see if I can get him, you know, in the free agent market, you know, after you cut him as opposed to giving you a pick point. That is a steep fall compared to somebody that was the number one overall pick. And he's sitting there, and wow. Teams are not trading for him. He said, I want to go to Colts. Then, nope, I'll take 37-year-old Matt fucking Ryan before I take you, Baker Mayfield. Like, that's gonna hurt your ego a little bit, right? Like, it was out there publicly that he wanted to go to the Colts. And the Colts was like, nah, bro,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Carolina
yeah.
didn't have a quarterback. Carolina's like, nah, I'm good. New Orleans said, hey, Jamie, you want to come back? I'm good on Baker. Like, yo, he was the number one overall pick, and teams are just passing him up, and they just don't care. That's the wildest thing to me outside of just the quarterback movement that, what was that, 4 years ago? He was the number one overall pick, and he can't find a home. And he's got a playoff win on his resume, a demolished of Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. He can't find a home. So, Rob, I send it to you, but that to me is pretty wild.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling when you think about it. And, you know, you mentioned Seattle. I mean, they're probably about the only place right now that he may have a legitimate shot of starting. Goes there, and you know it's going to be a matter if the Seahawks are willing to go for him. You know, you can look
Houston.
At a Pittsburgh, or you can look at a New York Giants as a possibility. But is Cleveland going to want to deal with a team in their own division? You know, the only way Pittsburgh probably get into that game is Cleveland just outright cut them, right?
Yep.
So I mean, they probably want to deal with a team in the division, and then the Giants. You know, the Giants has Michigan. They're looking for somebody to come in and you know. So to me, I think that could be an outside candidate as well.
you know, bring in somebody that's been a starter in the league and see if they can challenge Daniel Jones. But Carolina's already pretty much said they're not interested, as JQ just mentioned. So, I mean, that's out of the woods. But, you know, Andre asked a question about Matt Ryan. Does Matt Ryan strike fear in anybody? At this point in his career, he doesn't. But I think he could be an adequate quarterback with that coach team. The coach team, I mean, they got a great offensive line. They got some solid weapons on the perimeter in the running game. Probably one of the best running backs in the league, if not the best running back in the league right now. And a really good defense.
Easy.
So that's a team that he can go there. I mean, Matt Ryan is not an all-pro quarterback at this stage in his career. But I think he can go there. I think that team could easily win that game at my quarterback. Now, the AFC is stacked. We know that, right?
Yeah. They won the division.
So the AFC West is stacked. But then when you look at the division, the South, you know, how good is Tennessee really?
Right.
Jacksonville, but are they ready? Houston just traded their franchise quarterback. They're not ready. So the Colts got a legitimate chance to win that division next year. If Ryan Tannehill is your so-called best quarterback in that division, you know, unless Trevor Lawrence makes a big leap on next year. So the Colts got a legitimate chance, and I'll go on record as right now to say they're the favorite going into next season as of today, March 22nd. So, you know, not all pro, he's not going to fight fear, but I think he's got enough around him that's going to help him be successful, in that organization.
Quick question, Rob, has he ever been feared, though, is the question? Have you guys ever feared Matt Ryan, even in the past? I mean, like, are you like, oh, shit, here comes Matt Ryan? You're like, Matt Ryan. Honestly.
It was Julio Jones. When he had healthy Julio, you feared Atlanta a little bit because Julio, he could go down the field and just act a fool on you. But then when that body started to break down, he took a little of Matt Ryan's mystique with him. So I don't think it was Matt Ryan on his own. It was the weapons that he had. But you talked about with Houston, they said we would rather go with Davis Mills than go with Baker Mayfield. Like, we don't even want Baker in the trade. We go with Davis Mills. Like, that's damning. That's pretty bad.
Really bad.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. Let me cut you off. I was just curious. Go ahead.
That's shocking that you're going to go with a guy who's only going to be in the second year in the league. Carolina, you know, Andre made a point about the quarterback in the draft. Yeah, they could definitely very well take a quarterback. I mean, right now I got to take Charles Cross. They do have quite a few holes in an offensive line, too. But all the indications are a lot of these teams don't want to reach for quarterbacks in this draft. So, you know, we'll see. You know, all indications, but not to say they're not going to take a quarterback, but they don't feel the need to reach for one in this draft. They don't really see one fit worth reaching for. So, you know, we'll see if Carolina deems quarterback worthy of sticking the draft.
Well, go ahead, Curtis. Well, going back to the Colts, they can never forgive themselves for losing that last 3 games and losing to Jacksonville. I mean, for the fans and what position they were in last year, that was the biggest flop that I've seen in the NFL in years. So I think they made the right move, a better quarterback. Somebody that can stand in, kind of like what the Rams got, been on losing them, and finally have a team around me that can really win. So I think the Colts did themselves a great favor. And they won't be on Rich Joe next year. I don't think so.
The one thing I would say, Andre, I'll answer the question for you. I believe was a time when Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and I don't think it was any more Matt Ryan or Julio Jones. I think it was a combination that teams around the league did fear going up against him. Because Matt Ryan is a quarterback that he stands in the pocket. He's a smart guy. He's, you know, he's not real mobile or anything, but he's not going to make a bunch of mistakes. And I think what I think him going to the Colts is a good move for the Colts. But I do think that Matt Ryan at, in his career for several years, teams, you know, they had to highlight that game. We're playing the Falcons. We're playing, you know, these guys and their offensive, you know, weapons in Matt Ryan and Julio Jones as a combination absolutely struck fear in a lot of teams. And they did that to the Cowboys, and they beat us more than once. They beat us several times with that combination. And that was one of them.
They always remember that Super Bowl lineup to the Patriots. You know, there's no way they should have lost that game either. When they were in the Super Bowl with the Patriots. I think that has a better comeback in NFL history.
I didn't want to open that wound for you. I'm sorry. That's
crazy. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and I was going to say that Gary's answer sounded a whole lot like my answer.
But, Gary, I appreciate that, Gary. I mean, Gary, I was going to say, and I appreciate you guys asking that or, you know, answering that, because for me, I definitely felt, I think that the only time that I felt really confident was with Kyle Shanahan. And that was probably one of the greatest offenses, you know, obviously it's proven that he won his MVP. You know, and again, I'm not saying that he was the worst that I've ever seen. He's going to go down as a great backup because he's been really durable. So, you know, you have this conflict of interest, like, oh, you had a great quarterback, he was professional, all that stuff. But was he really feared was the question, because, again, I just felt like he needed to do a little bit more, you know, That's how we paid him. We paid him like he was an Aaron Rodgers or whatever, but he wasn't really an Aaron Rodgers in my eyes. I don't think he was a top five quarterback. I think he was maybe like top 10.
You're right.
You know,
you're right. He wasn't Aaron. You're right. You're right. He wasn't an Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't a spoiled brat. You know,
well,
he wasn't entitled. He just came in. Hey, let me finish. He just came in and he did his job, and he had good numbers doing it.
Sure.
You know. So did he have all of the talent all of the time around him? No, but he made his team competitive, and they did go to the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl, but they did go to the Super Bowl, you know, with Matt Ryan at quarterback. And they didn't go to the Super Bowl like some of these other quarterbacks that went to the Super Bowl because of a number one stifling defense or anything like that. You know, that was a collective team effort, offense and defense, that brought that team to the Super Bowl. So, you know, Matt, that's a good move for the Colts. And I don't, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, and we're going to get into another quarterback that we're comparing Aaron Rodgers to on another topic later in the show, and I got some fireworks for that. So let's go ahead and move on.
Gary, bring in the fireworks. Who are we talking about, Gary? Who should I bring the fireworks for? Bring it. What are we talking about? Come on, bro.
Well, we got a quarterback.
You know we're talking
about comparing,
that.
You're comparing two quarterbacks in the league. You know, the Rams got a quarterback. And he got his ring with one good team. One year he gets a solid team. He gets a defense. He gets an offensive line. You know,
wow.
He gets some wide receivers, and he goes out and he wins a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has had 10 or 12 good teams, and he's had multiple playoff appearances at home, and he's got one. So who has, if you're talking about legacy of quarterbacks, you know, I would say the guy that came in, he's one for one with a good team versus the guy that is one for 12 with good teams. So you got to look at that as well.
If you don't stop that shit. Okay, so if I give you a choice of Aaron Rodgers in his prime and Matthew Stafford in his prime with the same team. Which one do you take?
Well, I wasn't going to say.
Well, okay, so what we know now is what we know now is that Aaron Rodgers is an entitled brat.
Okay.
And he acts like.
Well, he's mad.
So if I knew
that,
then hang on, I will. If I knew that, then I would, because I know what he's done in his last 12 years. I'll take Matthew Stafford.
Well, I was
just, oh my God, that's a lot.
Hey, say what you want. He's 1-for-1 with a good team versus 1-for-12 with a good team. The facts don't lie. Aaron Rodgers has been there with home playoff losses and
MVPs,
and he's got one Super Bowl with
12 I get all that. That dude has won 4 MVPs. 4.
12. Yeah, MVP.
MVP is not – that's not a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, I get it. This is recent. This is recent history bias that we're talking about. Listen, Aaron Rodgers would jump off a second floor window and slit his wrist on the way down if you gave him Matthew Stafford's career. And there's no way you take Aaron Rodgers over Matthew Stafford. Stop it. I mean, I give Matthew Stafford his credit. He got his ring when he got a chance to get his ring. But I'm not taking Matthew Stafford over
so
a 15-year career
do,
over Aaron
Rodgers. What
are you
going to do if what are you going to do this year right now if Aaron Rodgers does the same thing he's done, wins the division, is the number one or two or three team in the league, loses in the NFC Championship, let's say he loses at home to Matthew Stafford,
wow.
Matthew Stafford gets another ring, then now are you still going to say, well, he's got 4 MVPs?
Listen, we can have that conversation. That's a whole lot of ifs, wins, and buts. But you know who else who gets, who's 1-for-1 in the Super Bowl? Trent fucking Dilfer. And you're still not going to take Trent Dilfer over Aaron Rodgers, are you? So let's not use that argument as the whole basis over who's going to take over Aaron Rodgers.
And you're not going to compare Trent Dilfer to Matthew Stafford either. I know you have a higher IQ than that, JQ.
But you're using the 1-for-1 argument. He's 1-for-1. I'm just saying, I'm using your 1-for-1 argument.
Matthew Stafford is a talented quarterback that has had nothing around him for a lot of his career. Aaron Rodgers has been an entitled brat that's had phenomenal teams around him on both sides of the field at different times. So with that said,
I mean, he might have had the best wide receiver of
Matthew
all time
Stafford,
in Detroit.
You cannot compare Matthew Stafford with Trent Dilfer. You can't do that. That's
I'm going off your 1-for-1 argument, but I'm just saying Matthew Stafford had arguably the best wide receiver of all time for a number of years in Detroit and didn't raise a whole lot of hell. I mean, let's not act like he was out there throwing to me and Rob and Dre as our 3 wide receiver set. I mean, he had Megatron, so
two player, that's not an offensive line. That's not a complete team. He hasn't had the complete teams that Aaron Rodgers has. Now, if you want to, let's go. Let's dive into this further next week, and let's compare the Detroit Lions to the Green Bay Packers for the last 13 years or so, and let's just see.
I didn't say that.
Where they stand.
I didn't say that. You said he was bearing the weapons. I'm not saying he was bearing when you have probably arguably the best wide receiver of all time. I just said let's not use that kind of terminology.
If you've got time to get it to that one receiver, not a plethora of talent around you.
You just don't like
there's
Aaron Rodgers. That's fine.
Yeah, that's how it sounds like, too. But Gary's on it. He's bringing some smoke. I will say that we're going to let Rob do the mock draft really quickly, but I am going to say this when it comes to Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford and the Rams got extremely lucky. Because if Jimmy Garoppolo could freaking throw the ball, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. How about that? You know, because if that's the case, you know, that could be a situation, you know, where Matthew Stafford didn't get that. Because, you know, the 49ers pretty much had the number. Jimmy Garoppolo hit some passes. And Aaron Rodgers could have literally had an opportunity. But, again, I digress. It's always ifs and buts and candy and nuts.
Yeah,
you know,
but, JQ, every year, every Super Bowl team, every Super Bowl winning team, no matter who they were, along the way, they got some sort of a break. Bad call, dropped pass, interception, whatever it is, every single one. So that's, to me, that happens every single year, and it will again happen this year with whoever wins the Super Bowl.
Fair enough. Go ahead, Rob.
I want to say he hurt the team. He was more interested in the money, and with that money that they pay them, that's going to, they got to get cheaper talent, and he has no chance of winning a Super Bowl. He's going to win it to the division, but he took too much money.
Talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he took too much money. And that's, if anything's going to be his luck, legacy. At one time, he was the highest paid quarterback in the league. And that hurts teams. That hurts teams. Tom Brady has never been the highest quarterback in the league. He would leave money on the table for offensive linemen. And that was one of their secrets for winning all the Super Bowls they did, because they had a quarterback that was smart enough to say, pay me just this much, but surround me with great linemen. Aaron Rodgers does not have that kind of mentality.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yep. So we could say Aaron Rodgers, you know, had to play a star role, a pretty woman or whatever.
Yes.
But, and it's true. You know, he likes to praise. You know, he can play that star role, a pretty woman and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, obviously, it's pretty obvious that Aaron Rodgers would be any GM's take. If you look at the quarterbacks, you know, of their prime, you know, Aaron Rodgers for Matthew Stafford. The only way I could see Matthew Stafford's legacy surpassing Aaron Rodgers is if maybe he wins a couple more Super Bowls and Aaron Rodgers doesn't. But, you know, at this stage, what Aaron Rodgers has done throughout his career, even with the one versus one in the Super Bowls, his hands down better than what Matt Stafford done. I mean, you could make some cases about, you know, Aaron Rodgers. His offensive lines haven't been that great for quite some time now. But he's able to get the ball out quick, he's able to make quick decisions with the ball. You know, those kind of things that really helped him. But his offensive line has not been that stellar, including these last few years. He's backed up too. So you can make that case as well. So it's only way Stafford passes him if he just goes out and dominates and has a few more Super Bowl wins, then maybe his legacy would surpass Aaron Rodgers, which he still has a shot to do. But as of right now, it's not even with one Super Bowl. On the draft, I'm just going to touch on our teams here really quick. You know, obviously for our listeners, you can go to our Talking Sports the draft in its entirety. I'm going to touch on the Philadelphia Eagles, too, because I know that was one of the topics. You know, the Eagles got three first-round picks in this draft here. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do here. I still don't believe they're 100% sold on Jalen Hurts, but that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily draft a quarterback, but I believe with three first-round picks, there's a chance that they could gamble on one of the quarterbacks, right? So in this particular mock, I got to take a Matt Corral, quarterback from Ole Miss. Got to take Trent McDuffie, Washington. Trent McDuffie reminds me a lot of a young Tyrann Mathieu, play corner, can play the slot, can play in the box, create havoc. So I think he's a really good football player.
David Ojobi from Michigan, you know, really had a really good combine as well. He's got the long arms, ran a 4.58. So those will be, in this particular mock, the three first rounds that I have the Eagles taking. In the second round, I got him taking Jalen Petrie, a really good safety from Baylor, on the team that won the Big 12 championship, and as well as, who did beat in the bowl game? Somebody good.
Did they beat Michigan State? No.
Yeah, Michigan State. No, no, no. Who's this?
They beat somebody from the SEC, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or was it Ole Miss? They might have beat Ole Miss. In the, and,
it was Ole Miss when Carell got hurt. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. I got him taking Brian Robinson, running back from Alabama, in the third round. And I got him taking Spirit wide receiver. In the fourth round. So I got a four-round mock. I didn't post the four-round yet. I'll give you for our listeners. The Falcons. I got him taking Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh, in the first round, and Mariota. But they're probably going to want to bring somebody in to compete with him. I got him taking Kyler Gordon, another star cornerback from Washington, in the second round. Atlanta's got two second-round picks. I also got him taking Cameron Thompson. Big defense, 70 from San Diego State. Atlanta also has three third-round picks now with a trade for Matt Ryan. Perry and Winfrey could be a flat-out steal in the third round, defensive tackle from Oklahoma, perfect three technique defensive tackle. Justin Ross, you know, missed all of last year, got the Falcons taking him, wide receiver from Clemson. Big tall, 6'10 pounds, really lit up Alabama in the championship game a couple of years. Only concern there, coming off a major injury, missed all of last season. And then in the fourth round, I got Atlanta staying close to home, taking James Cook, Dalvin Cook's younger brother, in the fourth round. My beloved Saints, I was taking Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. I know we just locked up Jameis Winston, but same thing with Atlanta. You're probably going to want to bring somebody else in there to either develop or compete. I got him taking Malik Willis in the first round.
Stay away from Atlanta quarterbacks, Rob. Come on, man.
Say what?
Stay away from Atlanta quarterbacks. I'm just about to go ahead.
Got the Saints taking Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State. Obviously, Malcolm Jenkins still on the team, getting up in age. You're going to start looking at that. John Meacham, the Saints have two third-round picks. We got John Meachie, the third, wide receiver from Alabama, also coming off an injury. Could be a steal there in the third round. Need a deep threat. And Saints going to need some offensive line help. Obviously, Teron Olmstead getting up in age. Very injury-prone here the last couple of years. Saints don't want to pay him that money. But you're going to need some depth on that offensive line. So I got a third-round Ed Ingram, offensive guard from LSU, and another offensive lineman from LSU in the fourth round, Shazen Hines, offensive tackle in the fourth round. We talked about the Cowboys' first-round pick on offensive line. Got the Cowboys drafting a couple of edge rushers in his draft, too. Kingsley Igbinogbari from South Carolina, one of the star defensive players in South Carolina's defense this year, along with Nick Bonito, edge rusher from Oklahoma. And the Cowboys need some beef in the middle of that defense, too. Their run defense wasn't that great last year. I got to take it to Talia Davis, defensive tackle, from Central Florida. So got to address the trenches there. Cincinnati, I got him taking the Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia, in the first round now. I got him taking Drake Jackson, another edge rusher from USC, 6'4", 270 from USC. He's got good speed on the edge. Give them some good rotation on the edge there in the second round. Josh Jovey, cornerback from Alabama, in the third round. And in the fourth round, even though they're up the offensive line a little bit, you got to have depth when you got to have a star quarterback. I got him taking Braxton Jones, 6'5", 310 offensive tackle from Southern Utah in the fourth round. The rest of the mock, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, you can see it on Caution Sports with the 12th page Facebook page.
You are trying to start a whole riot in Philadelphia. If they take a quarterback in the first round, with Jalen Hurts being in his second, third, in his third year, that might mess up that locker room. I hear what you're saying. That dude's got to improve as a passer, but I really think that with the wide receivers available in the first round, I think you got one in Devontae. right? You just gotta admit your mistake and rigor and move on and go ahead and replace somebody to go outside the box on the other side. And if you guys decline Rieger's, you know, fifth year option, let him walk, you just let that happen. But I don't know if you compound it by saying, oh gosh, we're taking another wide receiver 3 years in a row. If you get a chance to find somebody that can fix that for you, I feel like you gotta do that. I hear what you're saying. Listen. If I'm Philadelphia, I would put everything I could around him. They made the playoffs anyway last year, right? If you give him another wide receiver and that wide receiver hits, but Jalen can't give him the ball and it's apparent to everybody at that point, now he's got two on both sides. You got Dallas Goedert, a tight end. You're giving them a running back in the third or fourth round. Offensive line is okay. It's getting up there in age. The defense is still very, you know, doable in that division to maybe get a wild card and challenge the Cowboys for the title. If he gets all that and he still sucks, given what you're going to see coming out of the draft next year, quarterback, then I think everybody in that locker room is like, okay, we can move on. But I think that's tough to do right now when you know that Jalen Rieger has sucked rocks, and you don't even have to look at his side of the field. So now I can double, you know, Devontae and Dallas Goedert and just let him be over there, right? Like, they got that dude Ward from Houston, who's a converted quarterback, was one of their best wide receivers. Like, that's damning on Jalen Rieger. So from a Philadelphia standpoint, I think you got to address that. I don't know if you want to invite that controversy with a first-round quarterback this year, but that's just me. Because you know the Philadelphia press, they don't need no help. And if you give them that, they're going to be on that every single week. And it's going to be hard for Jalen to even flourish. But if he has a bad quarter, a bad half, they're going to be calling for the rookie to come in. So I don't know. I don't know if you necessarily put that kind of pressure on him this year. Give him all the weapons you can give him, and if he fails, then you move on.
But they've been thinking, I agree with Rob, they
simply may not be happy. Go ahead, Rob. They're going to reach the quarterback, but I think if it's an opportunity, they're going to look at it, hey, we got three first-round picks. Did we gamble and take one? It's not a guarantee that it would happen, but I won't be surprised if it will be.
Dallas and Washington would be like this.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles did that, and they're already a dysfunctional bunch. You know, you know, it's true. I mean, you're not a Cowboy fan and you're not a Philadelphia fan either, but you guys know that as well as any of us, you know, from their fan base all the way through. So, hell, might as well just roll with the quarterback. Take them with their first pick.
Well, you could say that about the Cowboys. Can't you? A little dysfunctional with their fans all the way up to the top of Jerry Jones? I mean, I'm just going to put that out there.
I don't know. You, of course you could say that about Jerry Jones. Of course you can say that about the Cowboys.
Notice he said about
the most storied franchise in the league. Of course you can. The team that's worth more than any team in any sport. Of course you can.
So wow.
The guy that is
I love you.
Rock bottom.
I love you, Gary Goy.
Hey, man. You're the GOAT. If you weren't the GOAT, you'd die, though.
Hey, I do kind of secretly agree with Rob in that I don't know if the Eagles are, you know, 100%, you know, into Jalen Hurts at this time, too. So, you know, I think if you got those three extra picks, why not gamble on one? So, you know, if it's a good situation, you've got the picks, you know, make it happen. They're not going to, like you said, they're not going to go after Baker Mayfield or anything like that. So, you know, let's see what we got in the pipeline. Sure. So, you know, obviously, I think I kind of agree. They secretly may not. They may not be telling that. But you know, like I said, hey, Jalen, here you go. Get some competition. But that's my thoughts. Anything else in that, Rob?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to force this. I think it's just going to come down.
The way these fans are in Philly is they're so, you know, impatient. So this kid goes out and has, you know, a couple of bad halves, let's say, man, they're calling for your head in Philly.
True,
you know,
right.
And then it gets into the media, and then it's a hard place to be a quarterback, and it's a hard place to have a losing team, and they're very impatient, and this kid really, you know, I hope they do this because I think it would be fantastic.
Jalen Hurts looked in that playoff game against Tampa Bay too. I mean, he was flat out got off. So let's not forget about how he ended that season and how awful he looked in that game too. But as I mentioned earlier, I don't think
he made playoffs.
I don't think the Eagles are going to force the issue. I think it's just going to be a matter of how to – I don't think too many teams are going to force the issue with any of these quarterbacks. I just think it's going to depend on how the draft falls.
Listen, I'm not a Jalen Hurts fan. I'm not taking it from that standpoint. I'm thinking if you do that and you end up dividing that locker room, it's going to be more trouble than it's worth. If you give Jalen what he needs and he doesn't perform, then you cut bait with him and you move on to the next quarterback and you don't have both those dudes still in the locker room at the same time. That's why I say that. Because you get out there and, like you said, he goes out there and has a bad game and a half, and that kid's sitting over there, and then you get a locker room divided. Like, well, we told you Jalen wasn't no good. Play the rookie, can't be no worse. Then you get that friction in the locker room, and like you said, I agree with you. Philadelphia's already part with a dumpster fire with where they handle their organization. So why invite that into the locker room at this time when you made the playoffs last year? You got to say, let's build around him, let's build him up. If it don't work, then we move on. But I'm not saying that he's the end-all, be-all, because he's not. I don't think he's there yet. I agree with you, Rob. He wasn't great in that playoff game. But he's still young, and not everybody young in their first playoff game plays well. So, I mean,
it happens. Rob, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. I don't know if you want to do, like, the fantasy football shout-outs. And let us know if we're going to do a little stuff in the OT portion, if you will. That's kind of a new Jake, if you want to text me about that. So I'll be home probably, like, 10 minutes. But if you want to do OT, that's cool. If not, we can wrap this up. But, Rob, you want to go ahead and set the fantasy shout-out, if you will, because we're in the playoffs right now.
All right, sounds good. We'll start with the NCAA tournament challenge that Andre, JQ, and myself have right now. Andre's holding first place with 41 points after the first two rounds as we get ready to go into the Sweet 16 this coming Thursday night. Fantasy shout-outs, we had the top winners of this past week. We had 6-3 winners. We'll start with Chester in New Orleans. His team passed the rock at a 6-3 victory over Madhouse on Madison. Sean, also known as Scary Daddy, Blue Devil All-Star in Atlanta, 6-3 over CKD. Black Belt, and yours truly, my team, Trust the Process with a 6-3 win over Andre. Triple-double. And JQ's team still with the number one seed as we're in the semifinals of the playoffs. And his team is 120-59-1. We are right in the thick of things in the fantasy basketball playoffs.
Bullshit. Nah, it was good. Congratulations, Rob. Nah, man, I lost a couple players, and my guys, injuries is the whole thing. But good job, Rob. Congratulations. It's been fun, man. It was a fun season for sure, man. So, you know, keep it going,
yeah,
man. So.
Man, we got to have that SEC clicker ready for you next time.
You need to have the one for me?
Appreciate that, Greg. I still got more work. I'm in a tough matchup so far here in the second round. So far, I'm down 5-4.
Yeah, it's tough. The injuries are a whole lot this year right now. So I'm with you, Drake. We'll see how it shakes out.
Every time, all the guys I've had, it was so rough. Yeah, go ahead, JQ.
No, I was going to say, I was going to wrap it up. I got to get up in the morning and do a lot at work. So I think some of these other topics about where some of these people land, we'll find out during this week, and we can just discuss, you know what I mean? We can just discuss where they landed at and how it impacts the league.
Yeah, go ahead and knock that out. Because I guess, you know, again, you're here in Atlanta, and it's crazy, JQ, to hear everyone just talking about Matt's run. You know, they're kind of crying about everything, and I'm kind of impartial, man. You know, I know Marcus Mariota's not the best or the greatest, but he can do what he got. He can do what he has to. Maybe, you know, again, just hold it down. We have $123 million in cap space next year. That's crazy, you know. So we're going to eat
largest.
It this year, but, you know, yeah. So
take your
congrats,
yeah.
Rob. Yeah. Congrats, yeah. Rob, to you guys for signing Jameis Winston. Just we saw the domino stuff. What a crazy, crazy week of football. I mean, March Madness was supposed to be huge, and the NFL just dominated all the storylines too. So, you know, I'm sure we had a couple things to talk about as far as, you know, if you pick Kentucky, like I did in one of my brackets, you're pretty much screwed. If you pick Baylor in a couple of your brackets, you're pretty much screwed. You know,
Auburn.
Duke and North Carolina had some great games. Auburn in one of those brackets. Tennessee, I had in one of my brackets. So it was just one of those interesting situations where, And this is okay, right? It's, you know, whenever you put the brackets, you're like, oh, cool. But then it's just interesting to see how everything kind of played out with a couple of these schools to go through. Go ahead, Rob.
It's just so hard to pick who that Cinderella teams are going to be. I mean, every year you know you're going to have a few of them. And this year is the 50th season. Liddables, Jersey City, New Jersey. Like, who saw that coming? Beating Kentucky. Then, of course, they beat us. Beat Wright State. Purdue.
Yeah, a lot of 5 and 12 teams. Yeah, Purdue. A lot of teams that were dropping off and played well too. So go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah. Purdue is one of the teams I initially had in the Final Four coming out of the East, and then I changed to Kentucky, and I was like, shucks, why did I do that? But so. I'm going to go back to my initial thought. I think Purdue will finally knock out St. Peter's. Carolina's starting five is really good, man. They just don't have any depth. They just don't have any bench. So then Brady Manick, you know, throws the elbow and gets ejected out of the game, and they blew a 25-point lead and allowed Baylor to come back, send the game to overtime. I thought the game was over. Baylor had all the momentum. And somehow Carolina pulled that game out in overtime. I think Carolina can compete with anybody. The starting five is really good. I just don't trust their depth. So I'm picking UCLA to beat the Tar Heels. And I think Purdue beat UCLA in the East. I still like Arizona out of the South. I think they beat Houston, even though I got a couple of Purple Knights as assistant coaches for Houston. Arizona's got so much length and so much athleticism on that team, though. It's just, I think their size might be overbearing for you. And as good as Houston is, like I said, I got a couple of Purple Knights that are assistant coaches for Houston, so it's kind of hard. I got to root for them, even though I'm picking Arizona to win it. And Villanova, Colin Gillespie may be the most, you know, cerebral players in this tournament right now, too. So I like them. I still like Arizona out of the South. Arkansas plays mother-in-law defense, man. They just in your face. They just nasty.
Mother-in-law defense.
he used that last week. I love it. Keep going, Rob.
I've seen them play LSU like 3 times. They just, like I said, just in your face. Just nasty. Just like those mother-in-laws are.
You mean they're really good cooks and they play the piano?
Oh, wow.
I still like Gonzaga. I like Texas Tech to beat Duke, too. I think, you know, Texas Tech is another one of those teams.
They got a great defense. Great defense.
And I like them, but I like Gonzaga. I like Kansas. Kansas might be one of the most talented teams left, even though Agbaji. And David McCormick didn't play well last weekend. Remy Martin kind of carried him. So, as of right now, my latest projection, Gonzaga, Arizona, Purdue, Kansas. But, of course, y'all know I'm pulling for my Tar Heels all the way from that standpoint. That's what I'm going with. So, you just talked about the quarterback carousel earlier. As soon as the Saints and the Falcons flirted with Watson. You knew Matt Ryan was going to want out, and personally, I thought Jameis Winston was going to feel some kind of way too. But I think when Jameis was only talking to the Saints and the Colts, but when the Colts went with Matt Ryan, then you saw him went ahead and signed a deal to go back with the Saints. So I think even he was possibly at leaving just because. You know, just because the Saints are openly flirting with Deshaun Watson. So, yes. You know, I think he definitely been open to leaving. But when the coach went with Matt Ryan, it just made it easy for him to come back to the Saints there too. So all of that was a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
And then for Matt Carter to go to Atlanta too.
Absolutely.
Everyone is freaking out over here. Like, it's like everyone's crying.
You know, Mario, still asking him a letter. He's going to call.
It's not that, though. It's a tough offseason. You lose Freddie Freeman and Matt Ryan, who have been staples in Atlanta in the same offseason in a matter of weeks. That's a tough blow to a fan base. Like, I mean, I got to get really like, well, damn. You're going to lose them both in the span of 2.5 weeks? That's tough. Like, I get it. You know, you get emotionally tied to dudes, and you lose them both in the same offseason, especially when you come off a high win the World Series and Georgia win the national championship and didn't have that happen a couple months later. So up here down here.
If you lose the greatest, you know, if you lose Curtis and Gary's favorite quarterback, Tom Brady, if you can let him go for the Patriots, I'm sure you can let, you know, Matt Ryan and Freddie Freeman go. So, you know, when we know how much Curtis and Gary love
Curtis
Tom Brady.
And Gary's favorite quarterback. I thought it was Aaron Rodgers. Not you said it was Aaron Rodgers. Which one is it?
Either one. It's kind of interchangeable, you know, with everyone kind of week to week acting.
Yes,
but, you know.
It is for you.
Nah, I'm totally joking. Nah, I just want to get you guys in. I know we want to wrap this up because it's, you know, kind of late. Curtis, Gary, I wanted to kind of get your last thoughts in. You know, if you can keep it brief, that's fantastic. And then we can kind of wrap this up because it's been a pretty eventful evening, I would imagine. JQ's been killing it, you know, being the bench player, if you will, too. So I appreciate you kind of stepping in there. And Rob, again, we appreciate you doing the topics and everything like that, too. So there's a lot of great things. I knew we couldn't get to all of them, but. If you guys can be brief on your last topics, and then we'll get ready to wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Okay, so Andre, if you were a high first round draft pick for this podcast, for organizing this and every week and doing the job that you do, would you feel if you picked JQ midway in the third round? Would you feel that that was a steal, or would you feel that maybe you could have got him in the fourth round?
My God, my boy, he's a
doing my mock draft here. I'm doing my mock draft.
He's doing mock draft.
Say, it's only six of us. Damn, I'm going in the fourth round? We just picking people up off the street in front of me. Damn.
Hey, that's better than where I would be picked. I wouldn't even be selected.
You stupid.
I'd have to, beg my way onto a team.
We all first round.
That's funny stuff. He's easily third
absolutely
round. Absolutely, you know.
And
that,
you know what?
Yeah.
Curtis and I are, you know, we're happy to be here with you guys tonight. It's a joy every week. And Curtis is kind of wore out right now, so I'm just going to say goodnight from us out here at West, out west. And you guys, you know, be safe. And you know, looking forward to our podcast next week.
Sure thing. We appreciate you, Gary. Bring us
absolutely,
alive,
man. Y'all get some rest too.
This week, appreciate you.
Love
you anything
it.
To wrap up with that, JQ? Anything else to wrap up with that, or nah? Nah.
No, man, okay. I'm good. I'm going to third round. Just going to overachieve for that second contract, so I'll be okay.
Yeah, you don't draft the pitcher in the third round. What?
Hey, wait a minute. He'll probably get. You know what? He's probably going to end up going to Denver too.
Third round.
No, I'm good, man. I've enjoyed y'all. It's been a good show, man. You can go ahead and wrap it up.
It was fun. Yeah. Rob, do what you got to do, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports on the 12th Man. As of now, we'll be back at you on next Tuesday night. This next Tuesday night, a week from tonight, March 30th. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time for, I know, Gary and JQ Dog, y'all out in Philadelphia tonight, but it's going to be 11 p.m. We'd love to hear from y'all. Call in and talk to Gary and JQ. All right, Chicago, we're still waiting on our deep dish pizza from y'all. It's going to be 10 p.m. for you guys in the Central Time Zone. Balloon Festival, Albuquerque, 9 p.m. Fresno, 8 p.m. Make sure y'all tune in next Tuesday night, March 30th. We'll be looking forward to seeing you or hearing from you all. Good night, people.
Good night.
All right, good people. I'll holler at y'all later.
Yeah, you guys will talk soon. Have a great week for sure.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Yeah.